You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Hey, Ryan. How are you today?
Pam, I'm doing good. It's summertime, and yeah, I think I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great. You know, you and I have been doing the survivorship for 10 years now, and one of the things I think we often bang our head on the wall is, how can we help out our young adults? How do we get them involved? How do we support them in their journey? And sometimes I think that maybe we're too old for that group.
Whoa.
we don't know what's cool anymore.
Yeah, well, you're right. There is no doubt about that. I'll speak for myself, but I think, you know, like you said, in 10 years, we've tried, and to no fault of anyone's, we just aren't in that sweet spot, are we?
No. And I think that young adults, you know, it's a different frame, time frame in life where, you know, maybe they have family, maybe they're getting their degree, maybe they're going to college. Like, there's a lot with the young adults that I think for them to find extra support sometimes is hard. And so it has to be very flexible.
Very flexible, very intentional, and very specific to those needs, right?
Yes.
It's almost like you could separate a childhood programs, adolescent, young adult, and then adult program. And I feel selfishly, I think it's okay for us to say, I feel like we have got our adult program dialed in. And so, you know, we've struggled with young adults, but what have we done, Pam?
What have we done? We have reached out to the expert, you know, we are going to learn more about how our patients here at the center can get involved with a really cool organization that does maybe meet and address the needs of those young adults.
That's right. Absolutely. So, you know, without further ado, listen, you guys listening today, you know, if you are in the 18 to 45 year age range, we want you to sit back, buckle in, and get ready, because there's a lot here to unpack. And if you're not in that age group, that's okay. You're probably going to maybe know somebody who is in that age group, or you just never know when someone's going to tell you about someone who's been recently diagnosed in that age group. So just because you're not what's considered an adolescent or young adult, please, please, please don't turn us off. Pay attention. There's lots of great information here. So we are super excited to have the Cactus Cancer Society co-founder and CEO, Mallory Kasperson, joining us today. Now, listen, this is really cool. She has a master's of science degree and half a PhD in aerospace engineering from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. During her master's and PhD, she worked, Pam, with the Air Force Research Lab, as well as NASA. I mean, we're talking rocket science here, on high temperature metal fatigue experiments and simulations. When she left graduate school in August of 2013, Mallory worked for a year to launch Cactus Cancer Society in 2014 of April. Applying her love for engineering and technology to a nonprofit endeavor, she manages operations, strategy, and development at Cactus Cancer Society, where online support programs and resources are provided to young adult cancer survivors and caregivers in the comfort of their own homes. She's passionate about young adult cancer survivorship and the importance of the patient voice in healthcare. Mallory, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I think there's a lot there. I joked with you before we started. You have quite an impressive background, you know, Air Force Research Lab, NASA, to young adult and adolescent cancer survivors. Tell us about how that happened.
Yeah. When I was in my last year of undergrad, my mother was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And as I started graduate school, you know, her treatment plan evolved, and I was very fortunate to be able to serve as one of her primary caregivers during the last couple months of her life. And then exactly 2 months later, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. So I was trying to get back into the swing of graduate school after my mother passed away, and all of a sudden was now dealing with this very life-threatening illness myself. So flash forward a couple of years, I was still in graduate school, but I was really facing a lot of those long-term effects that we know are very common with cancer in general, and definitely with the young adult age group. So anxiety, fatigue, and just really not understanding why my life couldn't go exactly back into the shape that it used to be, even though now I was, you know, I'd been through treatment, I was considered cancer-free, so everything, you know, quote-unquote, should go back to normal. And I just couldn't figure that out. And I'd never met another young adult who had had cancer, and so I didn't have anyone else's experience to sort of draw upon. So I ended up leaving graduate school. I needed to face my own anxieties, and I needed a more compassionate working environment. And I ended up spending a year talking to other young adults who had faced cancer. I started a blog. This was like the height of lifestyle blogging. So I basically, with friends and friends of friends as writers, we focused on everything lifestyle and how it intersects with young adult cancer. So telling someone that you have cancer, different craft projects that you can do to either process cancer or to just keep yourself busy when you don't feel well enough to do, you know, maybe some of the hobbies that you had before cancer came along, styling your hair as it grows out after chemo, lots of different things. And basically learned over the course of that year that there were really three overlapping things that young adults experienced or that young adults needed, regardless of what type of institution they were treated in, regardless of where they were, and what diagnosis they had. So they really wanted to be connected to one another. They needed their concerns to be validated, and they really wanted a safe space for all of those things to happen, to process what they'd been through. And So I'm an engineer by training, as we just heard. And so I went door to door to some organizations that were already thriving and really tried to get someone else to focus on young adults. It's an age group that's just under-resourced, both in the clinical setting as well as in the research setting and the psychosocial program setting. And this was very pre-COVID. People just didn't often have the expertise and or the bandwidth in order to do that. Very reasonable reasons why this, you know, need wasn't exactly being met. And so I sort of accidentally started a nonprofit. I formed a board. We started programs very small. We started with a book club and art workshops and the blog. We brought in expressive writing, and then very slowly started growing our program set and our staff. And here we are 10 years later.
Wow.
So how did you come about, like, the thought process behind each of these things that you offer or did? What were you looking for?
Yeah, so I was very athletic before cancer. And so, you know, when cancer started and I was feeling so fatigued and it was summer and it was hot, I was in the Midwest at the time. I know we don't have quite the humidity that you all experience in Texas, but still not for the faint of heart. The idea that I should stay active, I just didn't know what that meant. No one, you know, my clinicians were really used to a much older person being in front of them. And so really the idea that I could walk around the block and that was staying active was very foreign to me when I was used to literally training for half and full marathons. And so I started doing different craft projects, things I'd never done before. I did not grow up in like a crafty house. And I got my dad to buy me a sewing machine because I couldn't afford it myself. So for my birthday, I sent him a link and it arrived at my house. And I, with YouTube, taught myself to sew. So I started various sewing projects, some really poorly mended pants I remember of my husband's got botched a couple of times before I really got the feel of it. And I just slowly started doing these projects that really kept my hands busy and therefore my mind a little bit free while I was in the thick of things and not able to do the activities that were really, you know, more normal for me. And so that then, when I ended up leaving graduate school, that idea of helping people adapt their lifestyle to having cancer, going through cancer, being in survivorship of cancer really became one of the primary goals that I had.
You know, you mentioned the three needs that you found young adults need. And I think that kind of transcends, Pam, a little bit of what we see with our adults here, older adults, and as well, you know, that community. We're meant to be engaged in community, and life is better that way. And I think that I don't know. I've heard so many times, I thought I was the only one going through this, you know. And I know that that kind of goes along to the next one that you talked about of the needs need their concerns to be validated. And I know, Pam, you do a lot of that when it comes to the treatment summaries and care plans that we do at here at the center. How do you feel, Mallory? Cactus Cancer Society meets those, the connectivity, because it is virtual, right? Even though we've gone through COVID and we know virtual can happen, but how do you feel like it meets each one of those needs?
Yeah, so young adults are a little bit of a smaller population when it comes to the people who experience cancer. Most people who experience cancer are much older, and often they're community already understands some of those challenges. Often, you know, your best friend also had a parent who had a major health crisis, or they also had a routine colonoscopy drug up, that's something that was a little bit scary. Whereas the young adult group, they often haven't had major health crises. Often they're barely in contact with a PCP because they're just living life and sort of in the prime of things. And they're also a very transient population. So we think about like getting diagnosed with cancer and then going through about 5 years through surveillance. Young adults could live in many different places during that time. They could be leaving home to start a new job, technical training. They could be entering college, graduate school. They could be getting married and moving in with a partner. They could be having a family. So there are lots of different big life milestones that happen in the young adult age group. So then bringing them together becomes more complicated, because if we don't necessarily have a specific young adult space in the clinical setting, which we still often don't, there are definitely examples of them throughout the country, but often there's not a specific young adult area of the hospital in the same way that there is a pediatric area of the hospital. So getting these young adults connected to one another is quite cumbersome. So we do that online. We run online programs, and we really specifically target that isolation that these young adults often feel, that idea that you feel like you're the only one who has gone through something. And we bring them together in these programs that also have these creative coping and creative expressive type of elements woven into them. So they not only get that community with one another, but they also get these very tangible skills and activities to help them process through cancer, to help keep them busy in the waiting room, and to get their concerns and all of their questions and what's happening in their life validated by other people who understand what they're going through because they've been through it themselves. We run online programs because it helps open up those geographic borders. You know, we have people who are living rurally and can't necessarily come back into their treatment center for a support group or, you know, even a social activity. People who feel triggered by coming back into the clinical setting in order to access care like that. And just this sort of misunderstood world that psychosocial and mental health really still lives in these days. So it's just so helpful getting these young adults to get connected online. We send them a physical supply box in the mail with everything that they need, and then they attend the day and time. And then we also very intentionally keep the groups small. So an art workshop would typically have about 15 people in it, about 15 young adult cancer survivors. And they go about doing the activity while while being with a group of people for whom cancer is a very well understood elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm. So you did a year long research. In your research, what do you think is the number one frustration with this age group?
Wow. I think it's the isolation. I think we have a lot of good data now to suggest that this group experiences a lot of isolation through cancer. They tend to experience more depressive symptoms compared to their cancer-free peers. And we now know that that isolation leads to all of these other quality of life concerns, all of these quality of life burdens. So by relieving some of that isolation, we're then giving them the ability to more adequately go about the rest of their life, because they're still often managing jobs and young children and new or mature relationships and all of these things that are very complicated during that time of life. And so I think helping address the isolation really then helps address so many other issues that they're having. If we just think about the heavy hitters of young adult cancer issues, I mean, they're often fertility and family building concerns. They tend to be underinsured or not insured at all. Some of that changed a little bit, and some of that is evolving as we speak. They tend to be newer in career positions, and so they may or may not have the flexibility that someone who's more established in their career may have. And then they also just tend to have a community around them who doesn't really understand what they're going through, while they're often in this phase where they're really trying to garner as much independence as possible. A lot of young adults are moving back into their parents' house or into a family member's house in order to receive the support that they need. Yeah, I think those are sort of the heavy hitters. Disclosure is another one. You know, if I'm going to be in the workplace for another 30 or 40 years, do I need to tell my employer that for the next 6 weeks I'm going to be in and out of the hospital getting treatment? Are they going to discriminate against me if I do? Are they not going to take me and my expertise, you know, as fully as they could if I don't tell them this very vulnerable thing about me? So there are just lots of things that are sort of just a little bit different about the young adult group of this cancer group.
There's no question. The difference there is I'm thinking, Pam and Mallory, you know, when I was 18, I'm struggling to think off the top of my head if I knew anyone who had cancer at that time, you know, yeah, at 18. But to be going through that and probably, as you said, not a lot of their friends having known someone, you know, there's so much misunderstanding. It's almost like a lot of what maybe you see, is it fair to say, is kind of mentorship?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it really all goes back down to that community, like you were talking about before, Ryan, that idea of being able to lean on someone who understands and being able to ask them questions and just get their perspective. Because I think it's so easy when we see a young adult who otherwise may, you know, have looked so healthy and now they're going through cancer, to just, you know, be supportive while being a little dismissive. I think it's a very human, trait that we have to, oh, but I mean, you're going to be so much better in a couple months and you can just go back to life. And all of those hidden fears that are now sort of digging their way into the cancer patient. It's just so helpful to have someone who's gone through what you've been through to connect with. I have, you know, a specific example I can think of where I was filling out a research survey specifically about young adult cancer. I forget exactly what they were considering, but one of the questions was anxiety. And I was still living very much with an undiagnosed anxiety disorder that was definitely exacerbated by my mother's cancer experience and then my own. And it asked a question about anxiety. It made me so anxious that I texted another friend who I knew was doing the same survey and was just like, oh my gosh, it's making me anxious that this question is on anxiety. And I think this is me. And she's like, oh my gosh, me too. And that, like, the power of just hearing that someone else understands is, it's just hard to express. We all want to be seen. we all want to be understood, and then we all want to be able to keep going through life.
Right. So at Cactus Cancer, tell us what kind of programs are available for young adults.
We run all sorts of programs. Like we said before, they're all online. So really, regardless of where someone lives, regardless of what diagnosis they had, they can come to our programs. We run programs 11 months out of the year. We just take off July as sort of a programming break. But because they're online, it means that there's a little bit of something for everyone. So we have art workshops where we send a supply box in the mail, everything that they need to take part in an artistic or a craft activity. We have creative writing workshops that are actually a little bit longer in nature. They last between 4 and 8 weeks. So the same community, the same group of young adults will move through that program together, building this really beautiful community within that cohort. We have a Cancer Secrets program where, just like the very long ago Post Secret project, you create your own postcard, really however you'd like, documenting a secret that you have that's related to cancer, and then you mail it in and we post them on our website. We have a week-long survivorship conference at the end of every year. It's always in December, called YA Cancer Gab Fest. That is a lot of fun. It's a whole week long. It's online, a couple of hours every evening, and you can sort of come and go to sessions as you please. We have a lot of great stuff. We have some drop-in programs. We have some programs that happen for about 2 hours. We have programs that last for, you know, once a week for 3 weeks, and everything in between. Lego programs where you come and you, and when I say come, I mean attend a Zoom meeting. You build the Legos while chatting with people. We have very formal focus groups where we're trying to really elevate that young adult cancer voice and perspective in order to make care or clinical trials or what have you better for the young adult population. So there are lots of different things to get involved in, and really a little bit of something for everyone.
What about for caregivers? Do you have anything specific for caregivers, or are they included?
Yeah, cancer caregivers are included. The caveat to that is that there's so many different ways for a person to be a caregiver. So we mean someone who's within that young adult age group who is then caregiving for someone with cancer. So whether that someone is a child, whether that someone is a parent, whether that someone is a partner, the young adult age group is the thing that we're very, very protective of, which is one of the reasons why we have pushed the formal oncology definition of young adult, which is 18 to 39. We've pushed it to 45 just to sort of allow for some of those people really in the last pieces of how we've defined AYA to be able to come into programs. The exception to that is YA Cancer Gab Fest, which is the survivorship conference I talked about that is really open to absolutely anyone. So we have researchers and advocates and healthcare providers and everyone, patients, survivors, everyone in there.
So for those young adults listening and they say, man, this sounds like a program I want to get involved in, how do they go about getting involved with Cactus Cancer?
Yeah, the easiest way is to go to our website, cactuscancer.org, and to sign up for the mailing list. So the mailing list, you're allowed to, you give us a little bit of information about yourself, and then you can pick what programs you're interested in hearing about, so that we, you know, if you're not interested in going to the guys group, for instance, you won't get an email reminding you to go to the guys group. And then we email you when programs are announced. Programs are often smaller group settings, so between 15 and 25 people often. The survivorship conference is also obviously a big exception to that. It's a very large group that we have together. But it means that the easiest way to get into programs once they're announced is by being on the mailing list.
Sounds familiar, right, ma'am?
Yes.
When we send out our calendar and send out our information, you know, some of our classes are limited on space, and man, they fill up quickly. And I'm assuming yours does too. So you guys listening, just like we tell folks about getting on our calendar, getting signed up and making sure you get it, or get our app, make sure you sign up at cactuscancer.org so you're getting this in timely fashion and you don't miss out on all these programs.
Yeah, absolutely. Things do fill up quite quickly often.
And so the next big question is, what is the cost for them to get involved?
Yeah, all programs are absolutely free. So we receive support in a number of different ways between programmatic grants, individual donors, what have you. And so to the patients and survivors, even the survivorship conference that we have at the end of the year, everything is absolutely free to attend.
Hey, that's right up our price range.
It is. You know, sometimes I feel, Pam, we sound like a broken record, right? We talk about all of our programs and activities are free, but we make it a point to, we knew that everything was free with Cactus Cancer Society before we had Mallory on, but we want to make sure we're providing good programs and information to you guys. And oh, by the way, again, we think it's vitally important that these are provided to you at no charge. It's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, cancer and medical care and just living your life is expensive enough. We want to make getting access to that community as easy as possible.
You know, also one thing that pops up into my mind is, you know, for those that are listening, they may think, well, I'm not welcome here at the Survivorship Center because I'm in that age group. Yeah. And, you know, I want to make sure that they understand they can come to all of our programs here. They're just not geared specifically towards that age group that maybe it doesn't address the needs or concerns that they have at the time.
Yeah. And I think too, Pam, that's a very good point. I think too, you know, some of our group activities, our wellness classes and things like that. What I might suggest to someone who's in the 18 to 45 year old category, if you feel like, gosh, it's a bunch of older folks that are in there, I lower the average age by 20 or whatever the number is, then anybody you know that's in that same age range, come together. You know, mm-hmm. Come together and experience our gym, our fitness center. Come together and come to pound class, or come together and come to our, you know, bingo and all the things that we have, bunco and all those classes. There's just not, most of our stuff is just designed for general cancer survivors, regardless of age, 18 and over. However, some of them do tend to be older in age. And so that's a very good point, Pam. The other thing I would bring up to our listeners who are in that category is, you know, if there's ever a need to speak with our dietitian, if there's ever a need to speak with one of our licensed professional counselors to go through our chemo brain class, those classes are individualized and they are not limited to a certain age, you know, 18 and over. So we do have those programs that are available to you as a young adult that you can still take advantage of. But I just can't imagine finding a better way to do this than do, you know, try to reinvent. I mean, there's no reason to try to reinvent what Cactus is doing.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point, though. There's so much about survivorship, whether you're experiencing a metastatic, a chronic, or a curable disease. And it's so important to find those people who understand. And also just there's a lot of power in community in general. And there's so much to survivorship that some of it is very psychosocial and very mental health and very community focused. And some of it you really need to talk to someone who's very qualified to help you navigate. And so having access to exercise classes and wellness classes and dietitians and other probably registered, you know, mental health professionals, there's nothing like that. There's no substitution for that. So I think really combining these two worlds is the way that survivorship really should be made for everyone who's experiencing cancer.
I feel like it's a cherry on the top for our young adults.
It is. You know, the beautiful thing is, Pam, when someone calls and is like, what do you have for young adults? Have we got a deal for you? I mean, that is really the thing. And I'm just so thankful, Mallory, that you're allowing us to partner with you and point our folks in your direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's also funny. We always go through an icebreaker at the beginning of programs, and people often tell like where they're coming from geographically. And you would be surprised the number of times people are living close together and then find one another in real life later on. In one of our very first programs, we had two women who were in the same neighborhood, and they'd never met one another. And they went to the program the last night from one of their kitchen tables. So they were together.
That is so awesome.
So I'm sure we'll find some other, you know, Texans who are also in programs who then you can bring to the center for all of those other wonderful survivorship programs.
So is there anything that we haven't covered about Cactus Cancer that you would like to tell our listeners about?
I think that often when we think of cancer support, we think of those clinical things that we need. We think of those surveillance appointments that we need to stay on top of, and the sort of long-term health concerns that we start to manage. And we think of a support group where we're expected to like be very vulnerable immediately with a group that we don't necessarily know very well. What's great about the programs at Cactus Cancer Society is that there are other places to go for the clinical things, and we focus on building that community and really just having fun and feeling at ease. So cancer is a well-understood elephant in the room, like I said before, and sometimes cancer is not the main topic of conversation because there's so many other things to someone's life that are important to them and top of mind for them, even while they're going through cancer. And so I think it's a great entry into this world of cancer support and really getting that support to thrive through the rest of your life.
Yes. You know, that brings us to our last segment. We are sponsored by the Auto Inc. family. Do you have an Auto Inc. inspiring moment that you could share with our listeners?
Yes, we had a program participant come in a couple of years ago, and she had just had a baby, had just had a cancer diagnosis. And so now, before COVID, she was isolated at home between her small child and her own treatment and had nowhere else to go. And so she came into our programs and immediately just became this wonderful piece of the community. And she was literally isolated at home. So she was not allowed to leave except for her medical things. And so just getting to be able to get to know her and watching her get to know all of these other people was just this really beautiful experience that I got to have.
You know, we see that in person here, and it's probably the most rewarding of the job, you know, being able to connect other survivors that understand what they've gone through. So thank you so much for what you do for the young adult age group. We appreciate that.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, thank you for all that you both do for everyone in your area.
Thank you. You know, the interesting thing about this the two sides, right? We're kind of working in a little bit in conjunction, but tends to be more separated in age. But there's that common theme that comes through there, and it's community. And I think that is the one most important thing that, like you said, Pam, we have seen on a regular basis, whether it's the five or six people that show up at 8:30 in the morning when we first open our doors to come into our fitness center and work out. And they're looking around to see where each one of them are because they want to make sure that they're all there, you know, and that's the kind of community that you need. And that's the kind of community that can be provided both with Cactus Cancer Society and here at the Cancer Survivorship Center. All it takes, and I know, Mallory, you would understand this and probably echo this, is we like to say all it takes is a little bit of time. There's no charge. There's no judgment. There's no competition. It's just a little bit of your time. Find a place to plug in and get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a great way of summing it up.
Yeah. Well, listen, you guys who are listening today, what do we want to do, Pam? We want them to make sure and pass this along, share this information, tell their friends, tell their, you know, loved ones, whoever they know that falls into the 18 to 45 category. That's a large age range. As you said, Pam, I can't speak for you, but I am no longer in the 18, I haven't been there for a while category.
I'm past that age group too. So,
you know. I would never have guessed that though. You are both such shining lights.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I feel that age group, but my age tells me otherwise. But, you know, one of the cool things is that we do have our app. And so, you know, if you can't remember Cactus Cancer Society's website, you know, go to our app. Click on that button and it takes you directly to their website. So we have tried to make it as easy as possible for you to get involved. And we want you to be encouraged to still come to the Survivorship Center. And then, you know, always bring a friend.
Yeah. So real quick, before we jump off of here, if you're saying, what about this? I don't know what this app is. I'm not sure what you're talking about. Go either to the Google Play Store or the App Store for Apple and search Cancer Survivorship Center. You'll see our logo. Download that app. It's super simple. You don't have to log in on the app to be able to see everything. You will need to log in and we'll have to help you with that into our check-in system to RSVP for classes. But if you're unfamiliar with our app, go find it. Download it. It's free. As Pam said, there's a section on there for 18 to 45 year olds. Takes you right to the Cactus Cancer Society, their website. All their information is there. You can request counseling visits from there. You can request a treatment summary and care plan with Pam from there. You can also request a dietitian appointment, and you can request our chemo brain class. Most every one of those things can all be done virtual. So just as we're speaking here, talking about virtual, it's very important. And then the last thing that I'll say, Pam, about our app, because it's very important to talking about virtual, is for our prostate cancer survivors that we have our sexual health on there that you can reach out and be seen by a sex therapist. And it's virtual as well. And it's someone who doesn't even live in Amarillo. And so one of the things, Mallory, I think maybe you'll agree and understand, is there's opportunities when it's done virtual to be able to be open, real, and honest, and know that you're never going to run into that person. Most likely, you've had a few instances, but most likely you're not going to run into that person at the grocery store. So that's why we have that done virtual as well. And I would just encourage.
And that's not just for our prostate cancer.
Correct.
It's for all survivors.
Yeah. So I would just encourage you guys to peruse through our app, check it out, find a place to plug in, and then make sure and join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon.
Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported the 24 Hours in the Canyon Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website at 24survivorship.org.